We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Her Hoop Stats fans. Welcome to another episode of Her Hoop Stats Unplugged. Happy Selection Sunday, or at least we're recording this on Selection Sunday. You'll be getting it on Monday, but it is officially time for March Madness, and we have a bracket, and Calvin Wetzel is here with me to break all of that down. Well, hey, Calvin, how's it going?
I'm doing awesome. Megan, how are you?
I'm good. It is March. We have a bracket. I've got the whole bracket right here, so we're going to talk about it. about those first round games that we're excited to see. We're gonna have hot takes. I'm ready. I'm dressed for the hot takes today.
And yeah, that's why your shirt always spicy. It's yeah,
but we're gonna keep it spicy.
By the way, I'm gonna drop some hot takes later this week in an article too. So
yes,
hot wings 2.0.
I'm excited for that. That one's a fun one. So that's coming. Keep an eye out for that. But yeah, I mean, what the first four is Thursday.
Wednesday and Thursday.
March Madness is like 3 days away. In less than three weeks, Calvin and I will be in Minneapolis. That's so exciting. So
I'm pumped for that.
Yeah, and we're recording this Sunday night, so 3 weeks from now we will have a champion. As crazy as that sounds, it goes so fast. So
flies by.
Yeah, but not to get ahead of ourselves, let's start with some of those earlier rounds. So we got a bracket today, and it's just first reactions from you. Anything that like really shocked you when this came out?
You know, I thought, well, yes and no. There were some teams that I thought were pretty underseeded, but I don't know if I'd use the word shocked because they were basically all mid-majors, which never actually shocks me when mid-majors get disrespected because that's how the world works. Thought FGCU didn't get very much love. Thought Princeton didn't even get very much love. Thought BYU maybe could have been on the five line. I really thought they probably deserved a four until they lost to Gonzaga in the WCC championship game. So, but those are all mid-majors, and you know that's what happens when you're mid-major. So I don't know if I was shocked by it, but I did have disagreements. If
yeah, I don't know if there was anything that was totally shocking to me too. I think on the top end too, it was pretty much what people were expecting. I was surprised to see Iowa as a two. I think that was one of the biggest things that jumped out at me, is that they really rewarded them for being hot late in the season. And they, I think they were a four seed in the last reveal and move all the way up to a two from that Big Ten tournament run. So quite the move off of just a few games.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, Illinois State, who it's been a minute and a half now. I couldn't make it very long without talking about Illinois State. I'm going to get into them. But, I thought that they had a pretty good chance to go to Iowa just in terms of geography and where the seed lines were going to be. But I kind of saw that being more of a 3-14 matchup. That's what Charlie Cream had Illinois State does probably maybe have a 15 seed resume this past week. Obviously, the run they went on could have gotten up 14, but the matchup still happened, just on a different line than I thought. So either way, pumped for that matchup. Like I said, could not go more than a minute or however long in this podcast without giving some love to my squad right back here. All 14 of these players are going to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2008, and I'm pumped about it. I shed a few tears today. They are playing Iowa.
Are you Caitlin driving Clark to Iowa?
Sorry?
I said, are you driving to Iowa?
That's a good question. It's going to be tough because we have all these other games. You know, yeah, I don't know. I want to be there a lot. I really do. I'm torn in too many directions and I hate it, but it's a really good problem to have because there's too much basketball and I'll never complain about that. So we'll see, but I gotta give some love to them because this coaching staff came in, 5 years ago. The team won single digit wins three straight years. They were like 2-29 a couple years before, 8-20 something year before that. Completely turned this team around. They're led by two JUCO players, which I think is incredible. And now they get to face Iowa. And by the way, they have two of Caitlin Clark's AAU teammates on our team, one of whom is also a lights out shooter. Maybe doesn't, do necessarily all the other things that Caitlin Clark does in terms of ball handling and all of that. But third in the country last year in three-point shooting. So super pumped to see that matchup. I cannot wait. Illinois State, my squad, shout out to you guys. So exciting.
A big run for them, too. I mean, the MVC tournament is not an easy tournament to win. They got two teams in. Missouri State gets in as well. But yeah, it's an impressive run to the tournament for them. So very excited for you. I know you were excited.
Thank you. That was the highlight of my season by far. More than that, honestly.
Yeah. I was also excited that there was four Big East teams in. I feel like there was a lot of questions about Nova and DePaul being on the bubble, both get in. DePaul playing in that first four, I feel like that game's going to be a lot of fun. You could see Anise Morrow on a national stage in the first four, so that's a lot of fun. And then Nova gets in, and what I think is one of the best probably first round games, BYU Villanova. I think that's going to be a really fun one.
Yeah, and talking about Anise Morrow on a national stage, to me, just another general takeaway is the first four is really cool because we get games like that on a national stage. How cool to get a game like that by itself, standalone. It's not, the first round, there's always four games going on at once. And if you're like me, you have all four screens and you're watching them all or giving a quarter of your attention to all of them, really. But most people aren't watching all of them. Wednesday and Thursday night, there will be one game going on at a time, and everyone who's a women's basketball fan will be watching it. And so those players will get center stage national spotlight, and that's so cool, especially, honestly, to me, for the 4-16 seeds to get to play in those games. And two of those get to win a tournament game. They get to say, who cares who you beat, that you didn't beat a one seed. You get to say that you won a tournament game. That's so cool to me. I love that the women's game added this.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's always fun on the men's side, so why wouldn't we do it on the women's side as well? So very excited to watch those games on Wednesday and Thursday. It should be a great kind of start to the tournament before, obviously. I mean, first and second round games are always chaos, so I'm expecting plenty of that this year.
No doubt.
Yeah, we were kind of talking offline and you mentioned it at the start here, but like some mid-major teams that are just feel really underseeded. I feel like we're going to see multiple double-digit seeds win games in the first round. I don't know that that's a hot take, but it's a bit of a hot take. I think there's definitely going to be multiple teams seeded 11 and higher that win games.
Yeah, and I think you can look at the Bridgeport region maybe to start, just where a lot of those could happen. You start with actually one that we didn't talk about off air yet is Notre Dame UMass. Mm-hmm. I think that game has potential to be a really close game. UMass is a phenomenal rebounding team, and they gave Iowa State all they could handle earlier this year, 5-point game, who's a better team than Notre Dame, by the way. So UMass can definitely hang and maybe even beat Notre Dame on a neutral floor. And then sticking in that pod, you have a UEPUI team against Oklahoma. That team, that IUPUI team, went into Iowa, who we just talked about getting a two seed on the road, and beat them earlier in the year. So that's a team that can compete with anyone at their ceiling. And Oklahoma is, you know, borderline. Are they really a top 16 team? I don't think so. So they didn't exactly get the toughest draw for a 13 seed either. And then you go one spot below that, Princeton, Kentucky, who our model actually favors Princeton in that game. You can sign up for our model, by the way, on herhoopstats.com to get all the predictions for all of these games. But I don't know if Princeton is actually necessarily going to be favored, because our model's been underrating Kentucky ever since they got white hot about 3 weeks ago. And we may or may not be overrating Princeton too, but at the very least, this should be in another extremely close game. So I'm looking at 4, 5, and 6 versus 11, 12, and 13, all in that region, all in serious danger.
Yeah, agreed. I think those two little groupings there are big candidates for updates. And it's going to, I mean, the Bridgeport region really top to bottom, I feel like it's just going to be a lot of upsets. There's a lot going on there. But then if you move up into, I don't know that I wanted to move up. Yeah, actually, if you move up into Spokane, Virginia Tech, Florida Gulf Coast, that's a 4-12 match or 5-12 matchup. Sorry. That one's going to be fun too. I can't believe that Florida Gulf Coast is a 12 seed. That is shocking to me. That feels extremely low. So really, I think tough draw for Virginia Tech there, but that game should be super exciting.
It's honestly, it's disrespectful is what it is. Yeah. They had that loss to Stetson and Kirsten Bell wasn't playing. They may have weighted that game just as much as if she were playing. I don't know. I don't know why else they're a 12 seed. But it's going to be a tough matchup for Elizabeth Kittley, ACC Player of the Year. I think some people were talking on our Slack about this earlier. But, you know, the way that Florida Gulf Coast is able to spread the floor and just have shooters everywhere. And, you know, we're both analytics people. So this team has taken, like, they just don't take jumpers ever. I don't know how many they've taken this year, single digits. So always a really fun offense. And it's going to be a tough matchup for Virginia Tech. Definitely, I wouldn't, you know, We always talk, there's always two ways to talk about it. Like Florida Gulf Coast got sort of ripped off with a 12 seed, but so did Virginia Tech, because they shouldn't have to play Florida Gulf Coast either.
Exactly. Yeah. That's always the double-edged sword of these like teams that we say are underseeded mid majors. You're also now your power five team that's in that 5 or 4, or whatever it is that they're matched up with. They, yeah, definitely getting a tougher draw than maybe they should at a 12. The other one, like I said, Villanova, BYU, that one feels like a good one. Villanova is a team that beat UConn this year. That's a really big win. They've won 11 of their last 13 or something like that in the Big East. Maddie Segrist is so much fun to watch. BYU, of course, mid-major too, so probably a little bit of mid-major crime there. But, well, if you call Big East a mid-major, I guess, but still.
Not UConn.
Yeah, not UConn, but I feel like it's fair to say it about some of the other teams in the conference. So that one should be an exciting matchup as well, but excited that we could see Maddie Segrist on the national stage too.
Definitely. And, you know, I actually have that circled into the second round as a team that I think could pull an upset. BYU in the second round and maybe knock off Michigan on the road. Mm-hmm. I think BYU, you know, they're so good at scoring at the rim in a number of ways. And Michigan isn't exactly a big rim protecting team. You know, Nas Hillman is not necessarily her strength. Emily Kaiser is maybe a little bit better back there, but I think BYU can put up some points on Michigan. And so it'll come down to stopping Nas, obviously. And now that Leah Brown's back, she missed some time, but I definitely could see, you know, this matchup maybe having some, both sides having some matchup difficulties, which might make for fun TV. But in the end, I think I will have BYU coming out of this pod.
Yeah, Michigan feels like a candidate to get kind of upset early on. I think they're just, the way they play makes them a little bit vulnerable to that. I think we saw UPI take them to the wire earlier this season. So definitely something that could happen there. The other one too, right above that, Tennessee, Buffalo. Buffalo, a team, really solid player in Deja Fair. Tennessee, if they're not going to have Jordan Horston back for that first game, I guess we don't really know what the deal is there, but without Horston, I think that one could get really interesting as well.
Yeah, and you know, Tennessee has a similar sort of just much less good version of what South Carolina has in terms of all the length and shot blocking. And Deja Fair put 22 on South Carolina earlier this year. Deja Fair, you know, Hammond Award finalist from Buffalo. So definitely could see some fireworks in that one. I honestly could see Buffalo pulling that one out as well. Last year we got Wright State as a 13 seed winning. We don't get 13s very often, but there's a couple that have a real shot this year, including Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo, IUPUI as well. I think those are two big ones there. Anyone else that you're thinking double digit seeds with? I guess maybe Creighton, Colorado is another one that stands out to me. It's 10 seed, 7-10, a little less crazy of a pick, but I feel like that's kind of it in terms of, you know, double digits that I'm picking for the upset.
Yeah, 7-10 is, you know, not too spicy, but I do like a couple of these 7-10 matchups. Obviously, Illinois State as a 15 seed.
You're picking that. Them anyway.
I mean, they're going to win the championship. So, but, you know, aside from them, another one is tough. I love Stephen F. Austin, and we saw last year they took a 17-point lead on Georgia Tech before Georgia Tech came back, took it to overtime, and won. They were that close to a 12-5 upset. I thought they could have been again, but I think they got a really bad draw with North Carolina. So I'm not sure if I'm going to pick that one. I do think they're dangerous on the 12 line, though. And if we're going to talk about double-digit seeds, you know, if we're going to look at 7-10s, the other one is well, now I got to pull up the right region. This ESPN bracket, I wish it were smaller. I got to scroll around. Where is it? Here it is. It's in the Spokane region, Utah, yeah. Arkansas. I definitely think Arkansas could come out of that one as a 10 seed. That's going to be a really fun matchup, though. Both teams are much better at scoring than they are at playing defense. So that's a Debbie Antonelli, you know, classic right there. And both teams love shooting threes. Again, Debbie Antonelli classic. So big time matchup if you're into the high scoring, lots of shooting. And ultimately, I think I'm going to have Arkansas coming out of that one as a 10 seed.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be a really interesting one. It's probably going to come down to who shoots the ball better from three in that game. But like you said, high scoring shootout type game, always a fun one to watch in the opening round. Also two teams that even if one opens up a 10-point margin in the first half, that game is far from over. So that part makes it exciting as well. Teams that can shoot like that, it's not really over until it's over.
Definitely. I mean, that margin could get into 15 to 20 range at halftime, and I would not feel safe at all if I were the team overhead.
Yeah, exactly. So that one should be fun. But yeah, I feel like, and then of course, I mean, once we get into like first round matchups, the 8-9s are always some of the best. And I feel like this is set up really well too. Another Pac-12 team in Washington State with Kansas State in that first round. I think that one should be interesting. I'm picking the 9 in Kansas State there, but I think that Kansas State NC State game that kind of could be set up there would be a really fun second round game.
Yeah, how fun would it be to watch Ioka Lee versus Elisa Kunane? Mm-hmm. That's the matchup right there that I think we're all looking for. I'm picking Kansas State in that one too. So in the 8-9 matchup there. So I'm definitely have that one circled in Raleigh in round two if Kansas State does come out of it. And obviously they surround Lee with some really good freshman guards, Serena Sundell and the Glenn sisters. So definitely some inexperience in the backcourt on Kansas State, which a lot of people talk about having that experience in the backcourt in March being a big factor, and NC State definitely has that. But those freshmen are pretty good too. You watch Kansas State. I mean, it's the Ioka Lee show in some sense, but they do have some talent around her.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a Kansas State team that's very battle-tested. Like, we've talked so much this year about how good the Big 12 has been, and they've been through the ringer in the Big 12, so they are going to be ready to play a team like NC State. They've had to play Baylor. They've had to play Iowa State. They've had to play Texas. They're very much ready for the matchup of that game. So that one should be really interesting. Kind of along those lines, I mean, we've got one seed, obviously South Carolina, no surprise there, Stanford, NC State, and then Louisville, the final one seed in the Wichita region. Which one seed do you think gets upset first in the tournament?
Well, I think I'm going to have to go with Louisville, and not just because they're probably the worst one seed, which I think most of us think they are. A lot of people maybe thought they might slip to the two line when Baylor won the Big 12 championship. But I also think some of the other one seeds got a little bit easier of a road. When you look at South Carolina, they get, you know, their four seed is Arizona, who's been struggling a lot, kind of backing into the tournament. The two seed is Iowa, who we talked about maybe being the worst among the top eight, top one and two seeds, and maybe should have been a three. And of course, they're going to lose first round, as we talked about. So South Carolina's got a little bit of an easier road, as they should. They earned it. And then when you look at NC State, they, you know, because of that chaos region, like we talked about with those double digit seeds, when you talk about UMass, IUPUI, Princeton, all being threats to knock off those single digit seeds in the first round, things could really open up for NC State to not necessarily have to play the toughest competition, not have to play the four or the five seed, who knows, something gets crazy. So I think they got a pretty good path into the Elite Eight. Whereas Louisville, they get Baylor as their two seed, probably the best two seed. And they have Tennessee, Oregon. Tennessee, I don't know about Tennessee, but I think Oregon is a sleeping giant as the five seed. They have a pretty high ceiling and pretty low floor, so it depends on which one we get. But I don't want to bet against Kelly Graves in March, because I think Kelly Graves in March, even dating back to his Gonzaga days, gets his ceiling out of his team. So I wouldn't want to face them if I were Louisville in the Sweet 16. So when I look at this bracket, I think Louisville has a tougher draw in addition to maybe being the weakest one seed.
Yeah, even that, whatever that 8-9 game ends up being for Louisville, I mean, Nebraska and Gonzaga, either of those teams, I think, could give this Louisville team a tough game. So I think that will be interesting as well. I'm like torn between picking Louisville and NC State. I do think there's a world where like NC State draws Kansas State in that second round game, and Kansas State, if Ayoka League goes off, could upset them. But I feel like it's more likely that it'll come out of the Louisville region. We'll be the first one seed to get upset.
Yeah, definitely. I think, if Kansas State is going to upset NC State, I think one or maybe both of these two things have to happen. Ayoka Lee has to go nuts. Mm-hmm. You're not 62 or whatever she had her. She's got to go crazy. And NC State's got to be missing some shots, because they're, right, you know, they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. And sometimes you have one of those games where, you know, the worst shooting teams all of a sudden get hot, or the best shooting teams all of a sudden get cold. And once in a while it just happens. And if that happens with some sort of shooting variance, then Kansas State has a shot. But
yeah,
there definitely needs something like that.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't think it will happen, but it's one I would keep an eye on. Like when we get to that game, it could be an interesting one for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's the one seeds. I mean, we talked about Baylor. I feel like Baylor is a team that, even though they lost today, feels like they're very hot going in this tournament to me. I think they had a really slow start to the season, but they've just really been rolling as of late. And I mean, lost to Texas today, but that's by no means a bad loss. And what they've been getting from Melissa Smith in particular, I feel like this is definitely a team that could be a Final Four team.
Absolutely. And the way the bracket opens up for them, getting Louisville, of course, and they may or may not have to play Michigan. If they do, I think Baylor should be able to take care of Michigan. Although that game, that'd be a rematch of a phenomenal tournament game.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that if we get that.
And we already got it once in the regular season, and it went to overtime too at that tournament.
Also that. Good point. Yeah. I forgot about that one too. These teams got a little something developing. Never put it past the committee to give us good.
Yeah, I feel like, it definitely, I mean, the Iowa, South Carolina, and Greensboro, like, that is set up for Aaliyah Boston versus Caitlin Clark, though. I honestly don't know that I think that would be a good game. I don't think Caitlin Clark's seen anything like South Carolina's defense this season. So.
No, she hasn't. But I don't know if South Carolina's defense, to be honest, has seen anything like Caitlin Clark either.
That's fair.
There is nothing like Caitlin Clark except for Caitlin Clark. So if you haven't played Iowa, you haven't seen anything like Caitlin Clark. So who knows? But if nothing, I mean, Caitlin Clark could be pulling up from the logo all night. If nothing else, South Carolina would absolutely, I think, take Monica Sonano out of the game.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark would have to be Caitlin Clark in order to win that game.
Yeah. I mean, you know. I say this a lot. I don't like the Big Ten's defense. I feel like the Big Ten doesn't play a lot of defense. So
I have known you to say that.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think, honestly, I don't know that I will get to play South Carolina, but that I don't think they have much of a shot in that game should they get there.
No, they would need some shooting variants going back to that.
Definitely. Yeah. Caitlin needs to go away.
Marshall, McKenna Warnock, their threes would have to be falling.
Yep. And Caitlin Clark is going to have to go like 10 from 10 from the logo or something for them to pull that off, which
she could. Let it be known. She's done things like that before.
Yes. But she would have to, because Aaliyah Boston will take Monica Sazano right out of that matchup.
Aaliyah Boston will eat. I'll let Monica Sazano, but Aaliyah Boston will eat.
Yep. Aaliyah Boston. I mean, against most teams, we'll eat, so not really enough to
spell.
But yeah, I mean, South Carolina does have to write the ship, though. We saw that huge loss to Kentucky. That was a crazy game. I mean, but South Carolina just didn't look right in the SEC tournament. So this is probably the wake-up call that that team needs. I don't really think we're going to be talking about them not looking right when we get through next weekend, but you never know.
No, it's definitely one of those things that either could go one of two ways, right? It either could be, you know, somehow that carries over into the tournament and we don't quite see the same dominant South Carolina team that we did all season and they get knocked out in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 or something crazy. I mean, they lost to Missouri, so you never know. Or the other way it could go is that it could be the best thing that happens to their season because, like you said, wake-up call. And rather than that happening now in the tournament, it happened before the tournament, lights a fire, and they just blow through all six games with no problem. I see it going either way, to be honest. But I would bet on the latter with Dawn Staley. She's one of the best motivators, I think, in the country, maybe the best.
Yeah. I think she could easily win it all and motivate this team to get back to where they need to be. So we shall see, but I agree. I tend to sense. Go with the letter. I think we're going to South Carolina's going to be just fine. Anything else that we haven't hit on yet that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I feel like Jackson State, I posted this in our Slack. I'm very pumped for them. I've been following them for a few years now, and Tamika Reed is like one of the best coaches that no one knows about. And for someone out of the SWAC, for anyone out of the SWAC ever to get a seed anything other than 15 or 16 is like, I don't know if people realize how big of a deal that is. The SWAC never gets anything higher than a 15, like ever. It just doesn't happen. So that's amazing for them. And honestly, they drew a pretty good matchup in LSU, one of the weaker three seeds. So I don't think they're actually going to win. I would love to see it happen, but I do think that one is going to be at least close into the third quarter, and people who don't know and haven't followed are going to check that score and think, what's going on? What's going on with LSU? Why are they only up 5 and they start the third quarter and then they're going to pull away? But shout out to Jackson State. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that one should be an interesting one too. Probably won't win it, but a good game in the first round, which we always love to see in the 3-14 matchup. All right, well, we've got to talk about who's going to Minneapolis. Who's going to be in Minneapolis when we get there?
Both of us.
Yes, and we are going, regardless of what happens with all these other teams. But
who are we going to be watching?
Yeah, who are we going to be watching? So who are your Final Four picks?
Yeah, great question. I have no clue. Someone come up with them on the spot. I'm probably going to change them tomorrow. So whenever I put out articles that have different ones than these, don't come at me. Just disclaimer. Right now on the spot, who I'm going to go with is South Carolina, Stanford, UConn, you're welcome, Megan, and Baylor.
We are exactly the same, so that's not very exciting, but well, it is what
that
it is.
That is pretty boring. We did not talk about that before, in case
anyone. Yeah, I
still UConn was predictable.
Yeah, I mean, UConn was predictable for me. No, I still think with all the chaos that we've seen this season, those are the four teams that I think are going to the Final Four. I don't know that any three or fours have what it takes to kind of pull off those enough upsets to get there. I'm sure someone will prove me wrong. But yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about UConn yet. They've landed in Bridgeport, which I'm sure there's plenty of people that are not happy about that, NC State fans in particular. No. But I mean, I actually do think that is where they ended up on the true S curve. So as much as people dislike it, I think it probably is actually the right S-curve move, at least. So I guess there's at least that. But yeah, basically home game for the Huskies. They've just, they're at a very different level right now, I think, than we've seen them all season. Watching them play in the Big East tournament, the defense is very locked in. Paige Becker is still working her way back, but it feels like she should be in a good spot by the time they kind of need her in the second weekend. So I think this is a UConn team that has the potential to make a big run.
And she's surrounded by a healthy squad now because it wasn't her injury was the headliner, but they had a lot of other players in and out of the lineup for various reasons, including, you know, Hazy Fudd, Olivia Nelson Adoda missed some time, right? At least a couple games. Yes. Kristen Williams, I know, didn't play at least. How many games did she miss? I know when I saw them play, she wasn't.
Yeah.
I saw them at Oregon and I think she missed that one.
Yeah. Dorka Juhas has missed some time. Caroline Ducharme has missed some time. So yeah, they've had a lot of injuries and now they're fully healthy. I think part of them being fully healthy is this team has now found ways to win with a lot of different lineups and a lot of different big pieces out. And now that they have it all together, it feels like they're really hitting a stride.
Absolutely. And it's just one of those things that like just happens, you know, like UConn goes to the final. That's just how, just what happens. Like in, you know, same way that like the sun comes up
every morning. Like, if they make it, it'll be 13 straight.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, you know, going to happen. So I will be rooting against my pick on that one. as you know, I root against teams that have won a lot. UConn has won a lot more than NC State, obviously. But I think until UConn misses a Final Four and ends that almost decade and a half streak, it's really hard to pick against them, especially when, like you said, they get to play in Bridgeport, which is not the committee's fault. It's the geography's fault, and it's the way it's set up. Yep. And it really is tough for NC State. I feel bad for them, but it's not the committee's fault.
Yeah, not the committee's fault. It is what it is. But yeah, I mean, NC State is going to have, assuming that that's the Elite Eight game, it's UConn, NC State, it's going to be a full UConn home court advantage. The UConn fans will pack that arena, so it should be interesting. All right, who are you picking for your national championship game and who's taking home the trophy?
Yeah, well, another one I'm going to go on the spot. Let's see. We are going to go with South Carolina beating UConn again.
Yeah, I'm going similar national championship game. It's going to be South Carolina UConn, but I'm going to take the Huskies. Paige Becker should be pretty healthy by then. Home, it's her hometown. She wins the national championship.
That's right. She's going to be playing in Minnesota, which ESPN is going to remind us of probably every 90 seconds. recycled video. So pumped for that.
Hopefully, by the way, it's a little varied, more varied with their tournament content. We can hope.
Yeah, maybe they'll have like two videos instead of one that they replay every.
That would be a plus.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I guess maybe we've got some more exciting matchups, like kind of on the books in some of these other regions, I feel like, than in the early part of Bridgeport. So at least we probably won't be like the Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark storyline that got pounded into everyone's head for the first 2 weeks of last year's tournament. So
yeah. I mean, it was cool the first time. It really was. But, so Megan, I want to know though, as a UConn fan, writer, UConn blog, right, is what you write for, and podcaster. How hard would UConn Twitter come after you if you didn't pick UConn to win the championship?
I don't want to know what my mentions look like.
Not good.
I really don't want to know. I do think they could win it all. I do think also that South Carolina or Stanford could win it all. Or even NC State. I think NC State has a tougher draw having a healthy UConn team in the final or in their kind of region, but I really think any of those four teams have what it takes to win it all. Baylor maybe, but I think it's going to come down to one of those four teams. I think there's a lot of upsets that are going to happen, and we probably will see some team that none of us are thinking about in the Final Four, but I think when it comes down to who actually has enough depth and talent to win a national championship, it's one of those four.
I agree. Yeah, and NC State definitely has, you know, the ability to knock off UConn or to knock off anyone. South Carolina, I mean, they play South Carolina pretty close, actually,
right, in
that regular season game. Stanford, when you have that much shooting around someone like Elisa Kunane, you can beat anyone on any given night. Doesn't mean you will, but you can. Those shots go in, you absolutely will. So I definitely could see NC State running the table, but Bridgeport. It's tough.
Yeah, we also haven't really given Stanford any love, but I think they could absolutely repeat too. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that they could win. I mean, they played South Carolina really close back in December.
Really close.
They have not lost since that game. I think Stanford is a much better team than the Stanford team that played South Carolina really close in that game. They've figured out their offense. They're not turning the ball over every other second like they were in some of those earlier games. So this is a really good Stanford team too. They have that depth. They can space the floor really well. I mean, Haley Jones and Cameron Brink have to be one of the more exciting duos in this tournament. That's a team that could definitely win it all too.
They're so aesthetically pleasing too with that Princeton offense. But yeah, I think their defense is playing as well as last year too. And honestly, I think this Stanford team may be as good as last year's Stanford team that won the championship. I just think South Carolina is just better. So you know, that's, we don't always have a team as good as South Carolina every year, especially in the last few years when the parity has really, you know, UConn used to be that good every year, but when the parity is increased, we don't always have that team. We do this year, which, so Stanford is the second best team, even though I don't know if they're necessarily any worse than they were last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think they were at the beginning of the season. That was Keanu Williams was a huge loss, but they've definitely figured it out, and they are definitely clicking at the right time too.
Yeah, and at the beginning of the season, I know Haley Jones was dealing with a little bit of an injury, missed some time, and was, you know, a little bit limited for a while. And I mean, I think they didn't have her when they played Gonzaga. Gonzaga was up for most of the game, and Stanford won by four. And Haley Jones was, she was playing when Stanford lost to South Florida. She wasn't playing well, though. She was definitely still affected. Since then, they've figured out how to play without her, because she missed at least, what, one or two games again a couple weeks ago. I think they had no problem. So they've figured out how to play without her. Hopefully, obviously, they don't need to. But they have gotten to another gear where not only missing Keanu Williams, but really whoever else they have on or off the court in any lineups that they put out there are just clicking on all cylinders at this point.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's a good point too. All right, one last question for you, kind of a hot take, but who's this year's Arizona? Who's the team that's, you know, in that 3-4-5 range that could make it to the Final Four?
Yeah, I'm looking through the bracket here. You know, part of me really wants to say Iowa State, but I just don't like how things shape up for them. Number one, being in South Carolina's bracket. Number two, like, they got to beat a top 10 team.
Yeah.
They have been so good, so utterly dominant against everyone below them in the rankings. Like, everyone. They just blow out people who they're favored against. And then they play Baylor. They play Texas, even LSU earlier in the year. They get run out of the gym. Now, they did go to overtime against Texas the other day, so I think that was huge for them to be able to even compete. But it's tough, because once you get to the Elite Eight, you're going to – I mean, I think Iowa State should have no problem in the first couple rounds at home. Once you get to the Elite Eight, you got to beat someone good, though. So Iowa State, I don't know. We'll see. Looking up and down, what else do I see? Honestly, a long shot here as a five – it wouldn't shock me to see Oregon come out of here.
I think that Wichita region just like lends itself to that. It's, I think, a weaker region. Louisville is a weak one seed. I do like Baylor, but that region lends itself a little bit to some upsets. And it would be surprising, but I think Oregon, if you're trying to pick a team in that like 4-5 area that I think could make the Final Four, it's probably Oregon.
Yeah, the thing is with these teams, you need a team, you know, inconsistency is generally not good, but if you're looking for a team who could either pull an upset or make a deep run beyond where they should have, inconsistency is actually awesome, because you want a team that has a ceiling way higher than where they're seated. Oregon's ceiling is miles ahead of 5 seed level, even though they've had a lot of games where they look like a 10 seed too. So definitely some inconsistency can work in their favor if Kelly Graves has them playing their best basketball.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to depend what level this Oregon team's playing on. But I mean, a team that's, when it's playing its best basketball, could definitely knock off, I think, anyone in that region.
And to be fair to them, a lot of their inconsistency has been because of players in and out of the lineup. They've had as much trouble with that as UConn has. But they've even had a few games where they were healthy where they didn't necessarily look right. So we'll see. Maybe it's just that chemistry that was a tough thing to, you know, develop with not everyone in and out of the court. But yeah, we'll see. I think they have what it takes.
Yeah, it feels like probably having almost 2 weeks after a Pac-12 tournament loss to kind of regroup and get this group together playing their best basketball on the floor could serve them well. So we'll see. But that would be my pick as well. All right. Well, games start Wednesday. This is coming out Monday. So 2 days we get March Madness, 3 weeks to championship game. Super excited.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Megan. This is fun. This is my favorite week of the year.
Well, that's all for today's episode. Thanks again for listening. As always, make sure you rate, like, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening or watching us. Also, be sure to subscribe to the stats site at herhoopstats.com. All the NCAA women's basketball stats you need for filling out your bracket. Super helpful as you're trying to win those March Madness pools. So definitely go check that out. Also, be sure to be subscribed to our newsletter. You'll get all of our best content great directly in your inbox and throughout the tournament. And lastly, make sure you're following us on social media at Her Hoops Bets on all platforms. Thanks again for listening.